Bendo Radio is on now.
Well, hello everybody. This is Infendo Radio for 1025. How are y'all doing today? I have Scott and Harrison and even a special guest. So, Scott, how are you doing today?
I am doing awesome. How are you guys?
Oh, you know, another week, another dollar. How are you doing, Harrison?
Ready for a brand new podcast, and who is the special guest we have?
This is brand new, so we have another guest this week. Zach, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what you're all about?
Hi, I'm Zach Bentz, and you may have seen me on the site. I released a new album called Nescapism under the name The Electric Witch, mm-hmm. of some Nintendo cover songs.
Awesome. So, we're just going to kind of roll right into your little bit, Zach, because I got the chance to listen to it, and I think it's fantastic. I think it's just, like, super awesome. So why don't you
tell us a little
bit about yourself and, like, kind of what you're about, and, you know, tell us about your album.
Well, I have been making music for a long time, since the late 90s, mid-90s, and just recently started getting into some more synth pop kind of stuff, which is what The Electric Witch is all about. I've got a couple albums out. I've got the Nescapism, which is, like I said, Nintendo covers, and I have another album of original stuff. It's called Assassin that I recorded with a friend of mine who did a bunch of vocals for that, which I then ran through a vocoder, so you can't even tell it's him. It's just like a robot voice.
Right.
So I immediately obliterated his performance, but The Electric Witch is a pretty new thing. I've been doing a drummer, so I've been drumming for like 18 years now in different bands and stuff, and I've been writing my own music as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what, I mean, obviously Nintendo was a big inspiration for your the Nescapism album, but I mean, like, when did you decide that you wanted to do like a chiptunes album like this, or what was your inspiration there?
It kind of came from when I just started the project in general. I just felt like something just called to me to do some video game covers, and just early Nintendo stuff was the very first thing that came to mind. And I think I recorded just about everything using iPad apps, so the synths all come from an app called Animoog, which is Moog's like official app they use for music on the iPad. And I guess it has a retro sound to it, so that sort of put me in mind of doing these sort of retro 80s tinged kind of synth pop things, and then I just sort of thought about some early Nintendo stuff from there.
Awesome.
Zach, I mean, when I'm looking on your website, I actually was able to finally listen to the album just yesterday, and one thing that kind of came mind to me when I was listening to it is, obviously the name of the album, Nescapism, essentially lends its name very well, you know, to the music that you're presenting to us, because the one thing that when I was listening to this, I'm like, you know, this isn't necessarily just usual 8-bit tributes, but essentially, when listening to this, I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is essentially soundtrack for daydreams. That's what I felt from it there. And it was the same thing I kind of got from, this may seem a little bit as far as big a comparison or whatever, but as far as the music, I mean, one comparison I got to this was, Ghosts 1-4 that Trent Reznor did recently about 4 years ago. I mean, that itself, that music, I thought really set the tone as far as, like, you know, if you really to get something in the mood or to, you know, immerse yourself away from the world, I mean, listen to that. I mean, is that what you're trying to kind of accomplish, just to not only as a tribute, but to, you know, make a chiptune set that, you know, made you go into a different world?
Yeah, definitely. That was like, I think I wrote something about, you know, how I would, when I first was playing these games, I would sometimes just listen to the music because, you know, and this was, you know, back in the day, I've been playing, you know, Nintendo games since they very first came out. So it was just this whole kind of different world from what I was playing, which is like Atari games or, you know, ColecoVision or whatever. Then all of a sudden the Nintendo comes out and it was just a completely different world where there's actual music and actual songs and the games were much more involved. So it was kind of this different world of video game stuff that was going on. And yeah, I was very much into just this kind of sort of dreamlike state and, like, you know, the shorter loops, but the songs were more developed. So yeah, it was trying to have that kind of nostalgic feel to those songs.
Uh-huh. Awesome. So
yeah, and the, well, sorry to cut you off there, Eugene. It's just I mean, you've been also been getting like great praise for this right now. I mean, not only from like the usual Nintendo blogs, but I mean from Kotaku and Destructoid. I mean, it just I mean when I had first heard this, like, noise, whatever, I thought we were the first to pick it up at first, and just to hear it's gone that far, I'm just amazed by that.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of really, really nice reactions to it. I never really know what to expect. You know, I don't really go into things expecting everyone's gonna like it or anyone's gonna like it, and then when it does finally take off, it's very kind of redeeming. Like, okay, maybe I'm not completely crazy here, and other people like it.
So, like, with the indie music scene, like, how exactly are you going about this? I mean, I know that you can, like, download the album and everything like that, but, like, is there – how can our readers, our listeners support your work, you know?
Well, the best way is just through Bandcamp. I have considered putting it up, you know, on iTunes or Amazon, but working with Bandcamp is just so much easier, and I can – you know, I'm happy if anybody listens to it or, you know, pays a dollar for it. And some people have been paying much more than that, which is amazing to me. And I kind of like the idea of just putting it out there. And if you want to listen to it for free, you can. If you want to pay for it, that's great. And if you want to pay more for it, that's just amazing. And I like that, you know, giving the audience sort of the ability to do whatever they want with it. And So right now, Bandcamp is the best way to find my music. And I do have other projects up on there, too. I have something called Dirty Knobs, which is this really long, extended, ambient kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I have some of my earlier music is on there, too. One of my bands called Both is on there. And we're giving away all of three of our CDs. We haven't been together for about 10 years now. We're still not officially broken up, so there might be something new. But we thought we'd make all of our music available for free on Bandcamp as well.
Awesome. Well, great. I'm glad that you're doing well. I mean, hopefully, you guys are doing all right with this album and Escapism and everything like that, because I was really blown away by what I heard when I was listening to it. It was pretty fantastic. So yeah, I mean, the best to you, and hopefully everything goes all right with that.
Well, thanks. Yeah. And I have planned for a follow-up even from the beginning. I think the reason I kept it to just five tracks was because I wasn't sure how well it would go over, and it seems to have done pretty well, so I do have a follow-up planned. It might be more five tracks, another five tracks, or more than that, we'll see, but there will be more, so stay tuned. You can follow me on Facebook as well. It's facebook.com/theelectricwitch. It's just T-H-E Electric Witch. There's only one E in there, so...
Awesome.
I mean, if I could ask, Zach, I mean, when you're taking all these different, like, you know, 8-bit sounds, I mean, out of maybe 8-bit and up to 16-bit, is there really a soundtrack from any person, like, personally wise, from a video game that you really like above all the rest?
Well, I think the first Final Fantasy game was the one that really brought the music to my attention first. You know, I got into it right away with, you know, Super Mario Brothers, and Legend of Zelda is definitely another good one. But Final Fantasy was the first one that where I really listened to the music for the first time and appreciated it. And ever since then, all of Uematsu's stuff has been just really good. So I think that was where it all started.
Nice. Well, good stuff. Well, what do you guys say we start talking about a little Nintendo stuff, since it's kind of been a big couple of weeks since we've last podcasted. I think the biggest news out of the whole fiasco of everything is that
a fiasco. I mean,
well, maybe that's not the best term, but I mean, I'm really hurt about the whole Nintendo's online stance right now and how they're kind of approaching it. I mean, what with the Pro controller not featuring any mic support and like them not really talking about how their online is going to work. And I mean, so where do you guys stand now with the Wii U less than a month away? Where do you guys stand with the Wii U? I mean, are you guys still excited? Are you still ready for this console to launch? I mean, what do you guys feel about it?
I'm still really excited about it. I mean, it's a Nintendo launch. How can you not be excited? Mm-hmm. But I know the last podcast, you know, I was really confident that they're going to have the online portion ready to go, and you know, it's going to be what the fans want. You know, maybe some room for improvement and so on, but definitely it have it there where it needs to be. And I think the closer we get now, I think I'm kind of getting more nervous about it. I mean, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about it a little bit, but the Nintendo Direct conference today,
mm-hmm.
I had hoped that they were going to sneak something in there with the Wii U, and there was nothing. Now, the Japanese version, I caught a little bit of that when I first got into work. There was a little bit of Wii U news in there, very, very brief. It was almost non-existent, but there was something in there. Go ahead.
Did you have your translator ready on that one?
I mean, yeah, right.
Did you have Bill Trennan on there as your translating?
No, I was winging that part. So maybe it wasn't Wii U. Maybe it was something completely different offhand. But no. I mean, I was kind of fumbling around getting everything ready. Kind of had that in the background. But they did actually have I forget which game it was. They had Iwata playing a Wii game at the end, and he wasn't doing so well at it. So that might have been the only Wii bit on there. But I'm starting to get a little bit nervous. I mean, there's been no mention whatsoever, and it's I'm guessing that, I mean, offhand, just my gut feeling right now is that the online capabilities right now are probably going to be focusing on the third-party games, such as the Call of Duties and so on from there. I have a feeling that's where we're going to see a lot of the online capabilities. Obviously, there'll be some Nintendo online capabilities, you know, maybe DLC and so on from there. But I think third party is probably going to be the focus right now. The other thing that concerns me, as you mentioned there, Eugene, is the mic capability. Now, I know a lot of people thought it wasn't a huge deal that you know, there's only two headsets that are authorized by Nintendo and whatnot. But the fact that there and I'm sure there will be more, and I'm sure that they're going to come out with Bluetooth versions, whether they're third party, Nintendo branded, or whatnot from there. I'm sure it'll come out, but the fact that it's not coming out with Bluetooth capability, just the gamepad battery life itself is not the best. I mean, it's 3 to 5 hours, and you know, knowing that you can play, you know, Call of Duty for what is it, like 80 plus hours on a battery charge?
Right. Yeah. That's right.
On the Pro, that's like Pro, I mean, I was shocked by that.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's huge. I mean, I can. You know, I can't, but I mean, I could technically play, you know, every day at work for 2 weeks and I'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think a 360 or, I mean, prove me, I mean, readers, correct us wrong. I don't even think a 360 controller can get up to that much.
No, mine definitely don't. But, you know, there's a lot of little things here and there that are kind of scaring me, but, you know, obviously I'm still excited about the launch. I mean, I can't wait to get it in my hands. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, since the last time we've talked, I've actually acquired a pre-order for the Wii U, so I'm definitely getting one on launch day because Walmart just came out with their pre-order incentive through layaway. So I went and did that immediately, and then so I've got one secured for launch day. But at the same time, I really am. I'm worried about where the Wii U is gonna stand online-wise. I mean, Nintendo really needs to come out of the gate strong with this. They can't really do what they have done with like the 3DS in the past and with even the Nintendo DS in the past, because both of those consoles, even the Wii, the online didn't really come into its own until a couple of months, even a year afterwards. And if that's the way with the Wii U, then I'm not sure that consumers are going to I'm not sure they're going to take to that very well. Online has so much to do with what we do today. I mean, look at us right now. We're on Skype talking, doing a podcast online. I mean, you can download games online, full of retail games. And if the Wii U doesn't offer capability right out of the gate, I mean, for Christ's sake, the Xbox 360, one of the reasons it did so well online is because it included a mic right out of the box, and it doesn't look like the Wii U is going to be doing that. So I don't know. I think Nintendo has some growing pains with online right now.
Am I the only one who really, I mean, it doesn't, I really just don't care about the like the mic situation. Yeah, I know it can be a very integral part. Like, well, it is an integral part, whatever, for everything else. Like, when it comes to the online gaming community. But the thing is, I'm fine playing online games. I mean, I know you may use it just to strategize in certain first-person shooters, be it, like, the Rainbow Sixes or even, like, Battlefield, for instance. But I could go on without it. I really just don't see the problem with it, but I can definitely see the... Well, sorry. I see the problem, the fact that you're having, like, if you're using a game that hasn't just used a nunchuck and a Wiimote, and the only way you're going to have to communicate is to connecting that thing to, well, a gamepad and just having a separate side in there. Yes, I can understand the really bad convenience in that one. And like Scott mentioned, this is probably going to come out with, like, a Bluetooth set probably later on, line. But, I mean, as far as being worried about online system, well, from a few of my friends from Gamers on the Rocks online, they... For some odd reason, they acquire. I mean, I'm including this in a hunch, whatever, and I'm putting this under very grain of salt category. The fact that I think, EA has already seen the online capabilities of this.
Right.
But and speaking of which, this is going to be a very big annoyance, whatever, when it comes to EA games. But every EA published title has to use their version of Steam, which is Origin, which. From my own group of friends, has not been met with a very warm reception, because after, you know, EA had that very messy split with Valve and Steam, and their own counterpart for their own online, you know, network hasn't really met that same threshold of what Steam has done. I mean, as a game changer, even though I hate using that word. And in that case, right now, I think aren't they using that for all console games right now for EA titles, or is it just the Wii U?
I mean, I'm pretty sure Battlefield requires you to sign up for an Origin account, and I know Star Wars: The Old Republic that you can only log in with it with an Origin account. So I mean, I think they were setting that precedent this year, and then I think obviously now with the Wii U, it's going to be required now. So
it's. I can understand the worries. I mean, we're less than a month away right now from the release of this console, and we don't want to see, I mean, obviously nobody, including Nintendo's investors, does not want to see them drop the ball when it comes to online like they did with the 3DS. I mean, they already got the one part out of the way right now as far as the launch. I mean, the launch itself, launch game, like the games at launch itself, is leaps and bounds above what they have with the 3DS
That's
launch.
Right.
So there's that. Wait. It's... Online is really the big question mark, which we have said since the big Wii U launch date event, launch reveal event last month.
Mm-hmm. And I think you're onto something there, that like the mic support really doesn't mean that much. I mean, like when I play online on the Xbox 360 or PS3, like I rarely have my mic plugged in. But I think that not including a mic on the Controller Pro or whatever it's called and not including a microphone in the actual package for like even the Pro bundle, it just kind of sets a bigger precedent on what Nintendo is going to be offering with the online on the Wii U, and it worries me. It really does. I mean, maybe Nintendo's gonna maybe Nintendo's gonna prove me wrong in this, but I mean, it really is worrorsome for me.
I mean
Zach, do you have any input on this? I mean, are you following anything with Wii U?
He actually dropped off, I believe. He had another appointment to go to.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I felt bad. Well, yeah. If only we could actually get his input on this, whatever. I mean, I'm sure he'd be blowing ourselves out. But you have that. I mean, I think we all agree. I don't think we're going to get to the launch day and not know about online. I think we're going to be – I mean, we've been it's been promised that this is going to be set up probably from what we're going to see in the online system. It's just, again, like when I mentioned with our friends, a couple of my friends from Nerds on the Rocks, the things that comes back from like what EA knows is I think it comes down to we're gonna get you know, some form of gamer tags. Mm-hmm. It's called, what was it, NNID?
Yeah, I saw that, the Nintendo Network ID or something like that. So, yeah, that's
which abbreviated kind of just, I don't want to say that out loud. I mean, don't say that out loud. Well, not loud, but three times fast, because I'm just going to open up a can of worms. But I digress. I'm laughing right now and I'm spitting myself. What I've just set back Infinite Radio listeners probably about, like, our subscription down. So, but online, you have that bit of we have that bit of worrisome because, you know, this is Nintendo's not first foray, but, you know, their next big step in as far as, you know, being with the big boys. Mm-hmm. It's really, like you said, there's no precedent for it. And can we probably see this? Yeah, I'm going to probably see, there's going to be that ability where we're going to see probably a Nintendo Direct that details this. It's just, are they holding it back so long right now to the fact that is, you know, would it be too late? I mean, I am worried, but I feel like the system's going to be in place. I mean, it's looking good for the 3DS right now. I feel it's like their own online setup, but it just, you know, yeah, you do get that worrisome, but I feel like it's going to be put in there. It just, I'm thinking like, you know, TikTok, Nintendo, you really got to get this up to beat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. So, gosh, I mean, I hate to be so negative about it, but it really, it just, the last month or so, it just has really struck me that Nintendo really is kind of, I don't know, it's almost like they don't really know what they want to do with the online infrastructure of the Wii U. I mean, yeah, granted, the Miiverse is going to be pretty revolutionary, I think, and what they do with that could really set the stage for what happens with the next generation of online, but at this point, I'm skeptical, and I don't know, I mean, maybe that's just me, but it really does worry me with what they want to do.
I am, and the only reason I can think that they would hold off, I guess there's two reasons. One, it's not where they want it to be, so they as of yet, so maybe there's some final touches they have to work on, and mm-hmm. and they don't want to show us a demo of something that, you know, could change over the next month, or that they just don't have a demo for right now. Mm-hmm. I guess that's one scenario. The other scenario that I was kind of thinking of the other day was that, you know, the PSN network has been doing some updates. The Xbox Live has been doing some updates. Mm-hmm. It might actually have been a good thing for them not to release too many details before their competitors did the updates, because there would have been time for them to add whatever Nintendo qualities that they like into their current updates. Mm-hmm. However, I don't know if it would make really that big of a difference, but I mean, that could be one thing. However, those updates are pretty much done with PSN and Xbox now, so the Nintendo Direct today would have been a perfect time to just blow everybody away with what the Nintendo is all about and their online capabilities.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing to realize is that, I mean, the console's not even out yet. So
right.
We don't really know what's going to be either way. And if we look at, like, what the 3DS has done in the last year and a half or so since it's been released, I mean, it's gone leaps and bounds since when it was first launched. I mean, you look at the Nintendo Direct today, and the 3DS is almost unrecognizable from when it first launched. I mean, it's really, really, really come into its own. So, I mean, I kind of want to talk about a little bit of the 3DS games that got announced and revealed and that are been talking about today. Are you guys excited about anything like that? Like, my most anticipated game this year is actually Super Mario Sticker Star.
I was actually watching the Nintendo Direct right before this final. I mean, I was at work, so I wouldn't be able to see it all, but... Uh-huh. I've been keeping my eye on this one, but after initially looking back the first on this one, I'm really more... This might be the title that actually inclines me to finally buy a 3DS, mm-hmm. which will probably be an XL. So all I complain about is when it comes to color for me. For color, the 3DS doesn't matter, so I'm going to be probably making the lunge on there. But others I really liked in there, I mean, Crash Mode. I may want to put myself up to... Warp myself up from Push Mode to Crash Mode, and then... Fire Emblem Awakening, because I took a long break from I took a long, long break from the Fire Emblem series since I played a few in here from like the GameCube, from up to the GameCube to the Wii, but other than that, I really haven't just delved myself into it that much. So I think it's just when it came to like a series that's based on like, you know, well, an RTS series of that kind of threat, that size and scope, I just never really, really kind of got grasped into the story as much. I mean, but then again, a story in an RTS style like that, when it's presented, it just never really lunged me. It never really like pulled me into it as much as any other fans from the Japanese series or those of that cult following here in the States. But I'm keeping my eye on for that one.
Scott, really excited you about today's Nintendo Direct? I mean, did you see anything that really caught your eye?
Yeah, overall, I mean, the Nintendo Direct, I was watching it at work. We had a slow period during that period, so I was able to actually watch it pretty closely. And, you know, it was kind of boring for me overall, but Fire Emblem Awakening looked amazing. That's probably one of the next games that I'll definitely want to get once it's launched, of course. Some of the other ones that I really liked is that I'm waiting for is the Adventure Time. Hey, Ice King, why do you steal our garbage? I just watching the cartoon with my kids. I mean, at first it was kind of an annoying cartoon, but I actually got into it. So it's something I'm really, really, really can't wait to get. Some of the games that, you know, I kind of thought they spent too much time on was the Style Savvy Trendsetters. It's like a dress-up type game that, you know, as I was watching Nintendo Direct and watching the comments in the sidebar, everybody was just, like, blown away. Why was that even on there? I mean, sure, for young kids, and I've bought some of their old versions for the DS for my kids when they were younger, but just to focus on that for so much, it was kind of a put-off there. But Professor Layton and the Miracle Mask, that's another one that I'm pretty excited for. So
yeah,
there's a lot out there. Crashmo, that was the first time I'd really taken a look at it. I know we talked about it a little bit last time.
Right.
And Fluidity, Spin Cycle.
Oh, man, that looks fantastic. Really awesome. Oh, my gosh.
So, there's a lot of really good stuff out there, but there's also a lot of fillers that were on there and that I'm not so excited for. But yeah, the Fluidity really, really caught my eye as they were showing that off.
Yeah, and you know what? And they have a whole bunch of games kind of for everybody. I mean, we didn't even really touch on Animal Crossing, which is going to be huge. I mean, that it might not appeal to more of the hardcore gamers, but I mean, you think about like kids and women. I mean, that's like that. It just is fantastic game for them. And this is honestly the first game that I think Animal Crossing game since the GameCube title that is going to have any sort of like new content. I mean, everything since then has been like just kind of a clone of the other games, and I've played them all, but this one really looks like it's gonna have some interesting new stuff in there, so that's kind of exciting there. So the 3DS is really, really, really coming to its own in the last year or so, and that's really exciting because at one point in the 3DS life cycle it was almost looking like handheld gaming was dead, dedicated handheld gaming was dead aside from like iPhone and iPad and stuff, but I mean,
speaking of which, Apple had just recently, you know, unveiled their iPad mini, and did anybody else get the feeling of once they, I mean, you knew it was coming, but once you looked at the price, you just thought to yourself, really need this?
Exactly. You know, I on our sister site, nerdsy.com, I wrote an article on there about the iPad mini, and basically that was exactly what I was writing about on there. I mean, do we need another Apple product that does the same thing as all the other Apple products? I mean, I've got my iPhone, there's an iPad, there's an iPod, or an iPad, an iPad mini, and an iPod.
Right.
And I mean, they all do the same thing. Sure, one focuses on talking, one focuses on internet, one focuses on music, but overall, they're the same. I mean, and do we need another one? Now, one thing I will say though is with the iOS operating system, looking at the handheld version of it, one thing I would like the iPad Mini for, and I'm not sure if it's even going to support them, but Square Enix has actually put out a lot of iOS based games recently.
That's right,
and they're fantastic. I mean, I used
but
to
expensive, hate,
yeah,
expensive.
They are. They are, but some of them are definitely worth it, and there are some free games out there too. I've actually in my spare time, I've been playing the name of it is, but it's a card based game from Square Enix that they put out, and it you do some monster hunting. It's Guardian Cross, that's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really, really good addictive game, and I've kind of been doing that in my spare time. But even some of the Final Fantasy ports from the original Nintendo Entertainment System, they're just really, really good ports over there. So I guess that's the one thing I like about it so far.
Yeah, and the cool thing about the iOS games is that a lot of them are just, well, maybe not the Square Enix games per se, but I mean, a lot of them are just kind of like pick up and play. You can play them for like 5-10 minutes and then enjoy your time with them. But yeah, you're right. I mean, why exactly is this iPod Mini coming out? Well, okay, an iPod Mini, sure, I would love to have one, but not at that price point. That's way too expensive for me. I mean, you can get a Kindle Fire, the HD, for $199. You can get a Nexus 7 for $199, and this is coming out for almost the same price as the full-size iPad. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's going to sell like hotcakes, but
it is, and no, it's pretty much inevitable, whatever, for this one thing's going to be selling. I mean Apple's mastered an idea of like marketing, like the you know, their own marketing to, you know, get this into people's hands. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, the price itself may be kind of scaring people, away, but just kind of begs the question, like, why would I want a smaller screen on here? I mean, I can understand the convenience of it, you know, carrying it around, but yet, whereas what you're going to be getting with the regular iPad 2, I mean, just same operating system essentially. Well, I have a friend of mine who has an iPad 2 from last year, and, you know, he's completely fine with it, whatever. I mean, you're having so many different generations of this thing going on. Now, to its credit, to our credit, well, not to our credit, to add exactly, yes, we are on a Nintendo branded site, and of course, for a company that has put out a handheld, very different versions of that said handheld, be it the Game Boy or a 3DS or a DS, you know, any DS handhelds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we may sound a little hypocritical on here.
That's,
I understand,
right.
That. Yeah. It does. But, right. I mean, the question I'm getting here with Apple, though, is just, why? I mean, did that really warrant to go down a bigger, lower size when you the only difference to itself, like, hey, it's smaller, but it's essentially the same operating system, but with, you know, different when it comes to storage capacity. I'm not trying to compare this. I'm not trying to say this is going to end up the same way. It will not. I mean, it's essentially what we had, whatever, when you had with the Game Boy Advance SP, and they decided to go with the Game Boy Micro.
Right.
I mean, those are different realms, the completely different realms that we're speaking of right now. It's just sometimes smaller is not usually better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but then again, you could say, but then again, I always say when it comes to writing, less is more. But
that's,
the technology, smaller is small is fine. It's just I'm thinking, I don't think Steve Jobs would do that, and I know people are tired of hearing saying, like, what would Steve Jobs think? But I'm certain that I think he was once quoted saying that an iPad should not be below, I think, what was it, like, what's a regular iPad screen size, 10 inches,
yeah,
I believe?
Yeah, it's a 10-inch screen, I believe.
Yeah, right around there.
I think he said at one point, like, in his biography that was published last year, that, like, it was only, like, 10 inches was the minimum for a size of an iPad.
And it's so funny, too, because, like, Nintendo is going almost the opposite direction with the 3DS XL being released. I mean, they're going bigger. And obviously, that's actually been selling rather well worldwide. So it's
convincing me right now. I really didn't think much of the DSX or the DSi XL when it was released near the end of that generation cycle. But with this one, it just, hey, we give you a nice, sexy-looking screen, which I finally saw in action this past weekend for the first time. Finally. And once I had that thing in my hands for a while, I was like, you know what? Going back to the original model and just comparing and contrasting, I'm like, I like this XL a lot.
Yeah.
Not only is just the feel, but again, that screen size itself just got me hooked onto there. I mean, like, it's just that right side to the point where it's not so much larger that it's so bulky. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to be putting it in my pocket, obviously, but, you know, it's something I could put in my own satchel on a backpack, so that's good enough. But it's kind of a weird trend as far as what Nintendo's going for. So, I mean, who knows? Are we going to see probably a larger Wii U and probably in the next future, something like with a bigger hard drive capacity? But, I mean, then again, this is a system that's expandable memory, but Who knows?
Right, right. Yeah, and you know what? Switching gears a little bit, I mean, kind of on the same page, Nintendo just released their fiscal analysis or whatever. They kind of cut their annual profit forecast by 70%, whatever that means. I mean, we're not analysts here, but I mean, there was a couple of things in this forecast that were kind of telling here. And one, that the Wii was definitely dead in the water. I mean, it sold abysmally this last couple of months, this last year. But however, the 3DS has been selling rather well. I mean, the 3DS shifted 5 million units in 6 months, which is nothing to scoff at. And that actually brings it at 22 million sales worldwide. So I think Nintendo, and they even said so themselves in their fiscal report, that they're really banking on the Wii U to take them into the next generation. They're predicting that 5.5 million units will be sold by March of 2013. So what I'd like to kind of discuss is where do you think Nintendo is going to be standing at the end of next generation? I mean, I know it's kind of early to tell here, since the Sony systems and the Microsoft systems haven't even been announced. But I mean, where do you think Wii U is going to be in this system? Where do you think 3DS is going to be in this life cycle? Do you guys have any predictions, any analysis on this?
I think it actually will end up pretty well for them. I mean, we've seen it with the 3DS. You know, as you said earlier, it didn't have the best start, but look where it's at now. It's a night and day comparison, and I think that there's still room for them to continue to move that up in it amongst the ranks there. I mean, right now, out of handhelds, I mean, sure, the PSP the PS Vita is a great system. I can tell you, I haven't picked mine up probably in 3+ months. You know, the DS is 3DS is what I've been picking up, and I think a lot of that, unless the Vita comes out with some really good games that are just must have, can't live without, I don't see it surpassing the 3DS. And if, obviously, Microsoft doesn't have a real handheld system out there, so there's really nothing there. Although if the new tablets and so on that Microsoft is developing, you know, there's a chance that they'll put some gaming in there and maybe some Xbox crossover and so on. Mm-hmm. We don't know on that one yet, though. The Wii U, just I think as long as, you know, they get a lot of the fan wants, you know, tweaked on the system. Obviously, we discussed some minor things like the headsets and maybe a not so minor one, the online capabilities. If they get those right and continuously improve them, I think that, you know, just what I've seen so far with just demos and so on, I think that we really, really have a good potential to stack up with the other two and come out, you know, right there on top. I actually have an article waiting, just as you discussed, about the 5.5 million units. Mm-hmm. I have an article scheduled to be posted tomorrow morning on that. And basically on that, one thing that they did say was that, you know, they're expecting to sell 5.5 million units. They realize they're not going to have a good start on the Wii U as far as stock levels go.
Right.
It's going to be a rough start. But they've also promised that they will have consistent stock in the retailer outlets throughout the holiday season. So one thing we saw with the Wii was that it just wasn't available, and whenever they came in, they were gone right away. It sounds like they've actually prepared leading up to the holiday season to have regular stock coming into the retail locations, so they don't run into that same issue. So it sounds like they're really trying to get it out there. On the downside, they also announced that they're going to be selling the system at a loss.
Yes. It's not a first for Nintendo, but I mean,
no, no. But that's actually pretty common.
But not even a first for probably console. Well, for consoles this generation, I believe the PlayStation 3 was sold at a loss. I mean, it wasn't until they gained that back with a price cut and a massive rehaul of like their entire marketing department.
Right, I think that they're probably counting on the games themselves to make their profits. And obviously, I mean, with the lineup we've seen so far, there is something for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, with the number of games that are coming out through their launch window, I think that they're definitely going to, at least at the beginning, come on top. And if they can keep the games coming, and listen to the fans and get the games that the fans want, as well as new franchises and new games altogether, I think that we're going to have a really good outcome with the Wii U.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, despite all the cynicism that I've had about the online, I'm really excited for the Wii U. I mean, it's even more so than the Wii when it first came out, because I don't know exactly why it is, but I'm really excited to get my hands on the system. I mean, I've already played it, so maybe that has a little.
Aside from their online, though, I mean, let's just say, I mean, I know you said they were excited. Just there's those little, not little things. There's those things that come along as far as like with the console that are very integral that we're very worried about.
Right.
I mean,
right. And you know, it's. I mean, and those things are important. They really are. But I mean, aside from that, I mean, the possibilities for the Wii U are just like, just fantastic. I mean, it's going to take a competent developer, probably Nintendo, to really realize what they can do with the system. But I mean, it's going to be really exciting what can happen with the console. It really is.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think one thing that we are finding with the Wii U launch is that there's a lot of excited third-party support with
yes.
this. I mean, I didn't hear a lot of third-party developers, you know, really speaking up about the Wii. And I know there were some, but there is just so much more this time around
mm-hmm.
that it's amazing. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I have seen is, I guess, with the third-party developers and ports from other systems to the new ones, is that it's kind of been double-sided. We have some that, Ninja Gaiden 3, where they've actually listened to the fans, they've improved the game, and, mm-hmm. and they're going to bring it to the Wii. But then I've also heard of some other games, such as FIFA 13, I believe it is.
Right.
And
Madden, even.
And Madden, absolutely, where they just... The porting process, it's not as easy as just, you know, switching some code and getting it on the system. It takes a lot of time, and there's just a lot of features that they just can't keep up with, and we're not going to have some of those features. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, it doesn't mean it's going to be a bad game. It just means that you're not going to have some of the stuff that the other systems have. Although there is supposed to be some better things. For example, on FIFA, for example, the graphics of the audio in the stands. There's a lot more detail in the stands than you are going to have with the Xbox and the and the PS version. So there's some little trade-offs here and there.
Right, and with Madden, for example, you can like draw your own plays with the pad, which as I think is really going to take advantage of what the Wii U is going to be all about. I mean, it's really going to take things like that are going to have people that already own Xbox 360, that already own PlayStation 3s to buy like Wii U versions of games, because there's like an added benefit to having that touchscreen, and that's where it gets really exciting, and that's what I'm really excited for about the console. I mean, you can look at a multitude of games that have already been announced, like Scribblenauts. You can look at like the PN. Oh, it's not PN 1000 anymore. I think it's what's it called? That Platinum Games game. It's called the Wonderful 101. I think.
Well, 101. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the games like that are just so exciting, and just like Bayonetta 2. I mean, they're just gonna really take advantage of what this console is gonna do best. And you know, it may or may not have the better graphics than what are available now, but it's still gonna...
which we still don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I feel like it's going to take until once it's on store shelves, somebody's going to, you know, take this thing apart, mod it for whatever it can be, and you know, find what it comes to the innards of this thing. I mean, who knows? I feel like when you have certain developers that take full advantage into this, to the whole CPU and the processor. I mean, take for instance you had with Rare, the Super Nintendo. I feel like Retro is that kind of developer that could actually, you know, do that kind of sort of thing. I feel like they have the talent and even the group, resume to actually do something of that caliber. I mean, you kind of saw flashes of that during the Wii, for instance. I mean, sure. They pushed it to the point wherever it looked like a regular 360 title when it came to Metroid Prime Corruption, but nothing else. I mean, the only title I could think that came close to that was both the Galaxy titles and maybe Skyward Sword. That's it, really. That's the only thing I felt like if you showed that on a 360 console, I probably wouldn't be able to tell the difference as far as maybe if I looked up a little close. So, and... back as far as when it comes to success of the Wii U, I've said this and I'll say it again. It's going to come down, well, you could say online, like we've been just shoving down everybody's throats in this podcast for the last couple weeks. I'm going to say this again. It's going to come down as far as when it to exclusives. And I feel like that's what Nintendo is going to do in their, you know, they've made a statement with, you know, Bayonetta 2 and, you know, the wonderful 101. I mean, obviously with Bayonetta 2, I mean, is the big, you know, form, like the big footprint as far as like, hey, this is the exclusive we have right now. And, you know, they got the response they did from people who were outraged on there. Well, I'm not saying they wanted that outrage. I mean, I personally took a good out of that outrage. It just shows like, hey, this is what I experienced during as a little kid when people, well, when I was in high school, when different games got announced for like exclusive for the original Xbox or the PlayStation 2 or even the GameCube. I mean, depending on which one you own. I mean, I remember when Panzer Dragoon Orta got announced as an Xbox exclusive, and I was really mad about that. But, I mean, obviously from a sales standpoint, it bombed. But, you know, I was still sad that I wasn't able to play that. So it's going to come down as far as, you know, again, obvious choice. It's the games. Can these be, like, you know, what separates the point where, like, hey, I'm going to turn my head over here and play this probably as opposed to what I have on these other consoles?
Right, yeah. So I think the biggest takeaway from all of this is that Nintendo is really trying something different. I mean, you can look back as far as even the Super Nintendo, the Nintendo 64. I mean, Nintendo is always trying to go off the beaten path. I mean, what with the Rumble Pack or with an analog joystick on the Nintendo 64. I mean, you know, things like that. They're always trying something new, always trying to push the boundaries. Even if they don't get it completely right, like with the Nintendo 64, they stuck with the cartridge format, which ended up being kind of a hindrance to them. Or, you know, things like that with the GameCube, they had this mini disc. And, you know, but Nintendo's always trying something different. They're always trying to push the boundaries of what's fun about what gaming is all about. And I think that's why, you know, people like us really stick with Nintendo, really support them. That's, I mean, we're talking on a Nintendo website and a Nintendo podcast. And, you know, I mean, as much as we like to harp on what they're doing, I think that we really do support what they do. I mean, because otherwise we wouldn't be on Infendo.com, you know?
Well, yeah, as far as, yeah, I mean, we support them, but like any other company, when you're doing it, I mean, you have to be as critical as possible. You can't be, you can't, you know, just turn a deaf ear to what they're probably doing. I mean, I could tell you probably during when the Wii was released, and as far as when there was an outrage, like a slew, well, there was a drought of games, you know, for its later portion. I mean, obviously, I was at that point where I was like, you know what, I'm just going to wait until, like, these other exclusives come out. I mean, I was mad. It's just, I got to the point where, like, you know what, I'm going to get my gaming my gaming time out with probably with other consoles for this time being. I mean, that's what I did, and I honestly went a good 7 to 9 months not playing my Wii, not even Virtual Console titles or downloading WiiWare titles, and it was until, you know, Skyward Sword came out. That was literally the only time I actually picked it up. And, you know, right now, obviously, we're in the transitional period right now as far as going to another console. I mean, I'm just picking up Sin and Punishment. That's it as well. I mean, That shows as far as, like, how much, you know, Nintendo realized in, like, the last few years of the Wii, what they saw, like, okay, we built up this, you know, we finally got back to the point where we lost the last two generations. Now we realize what mistakes we had, you know, trying to get in this one. I mean, that's what I felt like I really kind of applauded them, trying to go away from, not 100% away from the whole Blue Ocean strategy they have with the Wii, but also going back what they had with that hardcore audience they're trying to win back. They really want to get that, not only just winning that new type of gamer, but, you know, what the same type of people that grew up with them. I mean, obviously you had the reason why people, like, went away from them. It's like, oh, I grew up, but Nintendo didn't. You know, that's the main argument that you could probably get from it. I mean, obviously I'm still there for nostalgia's sake. Don't, you know, criticize for that, what it is. I still believe they make the best first party titles out there. I mean, I believe that bar none.
Oh yeah, I mean you look at what Microsoft and Sony have out. I mean, you can look at the Uncharted, the Halos.
I will say Sony's a close second. Yeah. They're getting up there. I mean, I just feel like Microsoft is aside from maybe, you know, Gears and Halo, but they've, I mean, like any, I mean, a good strategy, what they have, they rely heavily on their third-party support.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And but Nintendo, I mean, they've lived and died by their Marios, their Zeldas, and their Star Fox, their Metroids. Mm-hmm. I mean, but those are, more often than not, the best titles that come out in any generation. I mean, you can look at Metroid Prime for the GameCube, and I would argue that was the best title that came out in that generation. You know,
I could say as well. I mean,
right.
That and probably Shadow of the Colossus, those two games that I probably would replay on and off again. Well, maybe not so much Shadow of the Colossus, but the experience itself rewarded me, you know, to after it was completed, I sat down, I was like, wow. And, you know, mm-hmm. it's the same thing I got with Metroid Prime every time I replayed it again. I mean, it just, I felt like once that game came out, Shadow of the Colossus and both Metroid Prime, that both showed as far as excelled what each of those companies, like in-house development teams, could do.
Right.
I mean, obviously two mm-hmm. different, but, you know, it just shows, hey, these two companies were battling as far as, like, you know, in terms of, like, which one had the best first-party support.
Right. And, okay, so, you know, bringing it back to the Wii U, I mean, we can argue for days about what the Wii U is going to be like in the future and what it's going to be like, it's going to be like at the launch, but, I mean, console launches are usually pretty shaky. I mean, you even look back to the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3, and those weren't the best launches ever. But you can look forward to, like, where the Xbox 360 is now and even the 3DS is right now. And, I mean, they're really strong in sales-wise and games-wise. And, I mean, it's really fantastic. So I think that with the Wii U, Nintendo's biggest hurdle to jump is going to be to get that third-party support, making sure that third parties are getting on board with what they're all about and what the tablet controller is all about and you know what the strengths of the console are. And if that can happen and if third parties aren't going to be so hesitant about the lack of power, so to say, of compared to like Xbox Next or PlayStation 4, then I really think the Wii U is going to be in a good place.
I think so, and I think what it boils down to in the end is Nintendo fans are passionate about Nintendo as a whole and, mm-hmm. and the consoles and handhelds and everything that goes along with it, you know, all the way down to toys and posters, and they're going to, you know, definitely be the ones that make or break the system, and I think that what we've seen in the past is that the Nintendo fans, they're always there. I mean, I would argue that between PS3 and Xbox and, you know, whatever other third-party system that might come out in the future, whether it's the new, I forget what it's called, the Android gaming system that's supposed to come out next year. Yeah, the Ouya or whatever else might come out. I think those fans, you know, they're in it for the games themselves. There's really not a lot of nostalgia there. If something better comes out with a different system, they're going to jump ship. They're going to get that system and you know, they're going to go back and forth. But Nintendo fans, they've been there from the beginning. They'll be there to the end. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it has to do, I mean, especially with my generation, you know, I grew up on the Nintendo and, you know, I just have to play it, you know, on whatever generation they have out. But also a lot of the younger kids out now, their parents have, you know, grew up on the Nintendo. So obviously one of their choices is going to be, you know, the nostalgia. I want to get them the new Nintendo that's out there rather than this other system that, you know, maybe the older crowd doesn't know much about or whatnot, but Nintendo's always going to stick in their mind, and, you know, there's definitely a huge, huge nostalgia factor there, and you hit it on the head, too. You know, their core characters, they've been there from the beginning. Mario and Zelda and Samus from Metroid mm-hmm. and Star Fox, they've been there from the beginning. They don't get old. I mean, you can have, you know, how many games out there, you know, can you say have a platform game like Mario, and it changes slightly from one generation to the next, but each one is just as fun as the last.
That's right.
They don't have to change a lot. They just have to put the character in there. You know, the only complaint I've heard recently, you know, with Nintendo and their core characters such as Mario is I saw on a Facebook post actually today where somebody had mentioned that they wish that that Nintendo would have developed the Sonic the Hedgehog franchise because Sonic hasn't got enough love over the years. He hasn't, you know, he hasn't really grown to his full potential. And what Nintendo has done with their core characters, that's what Sonic deserves. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's almost one of the biggest compliments to Nintendo because that's a competitor that back in the day, you know, you would have never thought about crossing those two.
Oh yeah, no way. But no, now that there's no way. Yeah, I mean Sega does what Nintendo don't. I mean that was those
exactly.
were.
Exactly.
That's
it was brutal back then.
Yeah.
And but that's what that's what kinda, I loved about it.
I long, but also I'm kind of glad that those days of that aggressive advertising are gone because at that point, I mean, you really had no other ways of getting information as far as, like, you know, what console to buy. I mean, I forgot what kart racer about a – no, it was some regular Ridge Racer – sorry, not Ridge Racer. I'm going to get some bad Sony vibes on that one, but some Need for Speed knockoff that was mocking Mario Kart for the fact of its childish tones.
I know what you're talking about. Split Second. I think it was Split Second that just came out recently, perhaps. Or maybe
anyway,
I'm wrong.
I can't think of the name off the top of my head. It just, when I saw that, I'm like, are we serious? Okay, I know you're trying to get aggressive marketing, but are we seriously, you know, going to the lowest common denominator of, like, when it comes to gaming right now? I mean, I will tell you right now, I can't. Okay, what was it? The Galaxy S3 commercials. Okay, obviously they're trying to get an audience, whatever, with that one to say, like, you know, pit these Apple users as hipsters. And, of course, you know, these other kids who buy the Galaxy S3 as far as these, you know, the regular old person that you would be meeting as well. After watching that commercial so many times, I say this is the conclusion I've reached. Both those characters on each side are tools. I don't care. I mean, I don't care. What was it? One of the bits on there saying one of the guys waiting in the line said, like, the headphone jack is on the bottom, and he takes his hand and he's like, agreeing with it. And I'm like,
right.
Nobody ever said that.
Right.
I felt annoyed by that when I found that was on the bottom because I put my phone in my pocket when I used to listen to music, and I'm like, okay, I kind of want to reach it out to click the lock, but I digress. But, I mean, back to the whole aggressive marketing of video games, it's just – when I saw that for that kart race, that racing game,
and it was Blur. I just found the ad, by the way. It was Blur that had that.
Blur. Yeah. That's fair. I saw that. I'm just like, do we really need to go back to early '90s marketing? I think that's kind of a dormant kind of phase of, like, you know, tactic that it feels like you really just want to pull out if you're desperate.
Yeah.
And really, when it comes to different console make, anytime it's used tongue in cheek. For instance, like. Some of the Kevin Butler ads, for instance, they were talking about as far as when PlayStation Move is coming out, they did a little just jab as far as, like, the Wii's motion controls, how they're not very accurate. I mean, that, I'm like, okay, it's Kevin Butler, the character, I'm fine with it. Just, you use that kind of marketing, I feel like it's like, you're desperate. You're really desperate to the point, like, hey, buy us, we're cool.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
You don't need to. I mean, if you sell it by itself, people will possibly, I mean, if they do buy it, hey, they bought it on itself. You didn't have to tell it was worse than the other thing that you had. But if you don't, hey, it was worse than the other thing that you were going up against. So yeah. I just get annoyed by that. I really do. It just.
Well, back in the day, I think, you know, there were two systems to choose from. I mean, that was it. And it was edgy. It was funny. It was cool. And, you know, when you had, you know, like in my case, you know, my friend had the Genesis. I had the Nintendo. And, you know, it was kind of we played both just the same. But we always bickered back and forth. Well, I've got this on my Nintendo, but he's got this on his Sega. And, you know, it was a friendly bickering, but it kept both systems, you know, kind of constantly moving ahead of where they were. I think now, unfortunately, you know, going back to the Samsung-Apple thing, you know, they just had a huge legal battle, which I'm sure is never going to end in the long run. And, you know, this is – I took those commercials as, you know, it's more of a last, you know, jab, you know, just, you know, Samsung saying to Apple just like a na-na-na-na-boo-boo, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, it's – you know – well, I don't think we'll ever have a console wars like that. I mean, obviously, I think – well, I hope we have one in the future. But it won't be the same. And, you know, it definitely – especially with cross-platforming of games, you know, if all three systems have, you know, the same games on them, unless there's features on each that really make that game stand out, you know, we're going to be kind of at a plateau where, you know, they're not going to – other than, you know, coming out with a new console, there's not going to be a lot of forward movement. However, Nintendo, they've been in those console wars in the past, and I think with them, you know, they probably still have that in the back of their mind, and we'll still see them moving forward a little bit.
Right, right. So, well, okay, so now it sounds like all of us are going to be getting a Wii U at launch or close to launch. So Have you guys decided what games you guys are going to get with the console when it launches? Are you just going to stick with like the Nintendo Land pack-in, or I mean, where do you guys stand on that?
I'm going with new Super Mario Bros. Wii. I still need to pre-order that right now. Mm-hmm. Generally with game sales like that, I feel like they'll have a good quantity of numbers out there. And again, I was really hoping for Pikmin 3, but as we learned last week, it's going to be possibly a March 2013 release date, which is fine. You know, it won't get lost in the whole shuffle of like between Nintendo Land, just Nintendo Land, maybe Zombie U, and of course New Super Mario Bros. Wii. I may pick up Zombie U, but I'm gonna do a wait and see approach right there. I mean, from what I'm seeing, half and half right now. From the few gameplay videos from be it like IGN, GameSpot, even newly released website right now, Polygon, it's kind of divided right now. Well, not as far as bad. I mean, it's just optimism for it right there. So that kind of at least eases me in a little bit into the like checking it out a little bit. But again, my mind's still thinking like I feel like this has got a Red Steel vibe to it. So, I'll see with that one. But as far as later on, besides Pikmin 3, Rayman Legends, but I'm glad they're doing this because they're spreading it out, so you know I'll have time to buy something else. And plus, I have 360 games to play soon, so that's I have to do as well.
Right, and I think Scott. For me, you know, I've got a huge backlog also that I have to still work on. So I not a lot, but New Super Mario Bros. U, obviously, Zombie U, and then for the kids, Just Dance 4. Mm. However, I did receive a message from Best Buy where Zombie U and I believe Just Dance 4, if I remember correctly, both of those have actually it looks like they're going to be delayed till around November 30th for shipping. Oh. I don't know if that's just them being optimistic, but that's an email that I had received from them.
Interesting.
I'm not even sure what that's going to mean, if that's just Best Buy or if that's going to be across the board or if maybe it was just something that they shot out prematurely. I don't know.
Right. Well, the games that I'm planning on picking up are just, you know, I'm definitely going to get Zombie U because I think that I've seen enough of that game that I'm really excited.
I'd say your time at E3, you had a pretty positive experience with it, even though it was in its earliest form.
Right, and you know, I mean, those kinds of games just really resonate with me, like the survival horror, just like really stylized games like that, or just like I'm really excited for that game. But aside from that, I mean, I am sure eventually I'll pick up Rayman Origins, and then eventually I'll pick up the New Super Mario Brothers U, but I think I might be okay with just kind of sticking with the Nintendo Land that comes bundled in with my Wii U, because I plan on taking it to like Thanksgiving events and, you know, like Christmas events and like hanging out with friends, and you know, I think that's going to be very competent enough for what I plan on doing.
See,
with the system.
Yeah, like that's what I see as Nintendo Land as, is like, you know, it's that little great party game for you know, to group people in together to see what the console is.
Yeah,
and you know, with, well, obviously, New Super Mario Bros. Wii is going to, well, you, sorry, I'm getting,
yeah,
all the new titles are very discernible right
they
now.
Are.
I mean, a friend of mine on Twitter joked around saying, like, how far are we away probably from when they're running out of accurate, like, names to put at the end of it as far as numbers? They're just going to go the route what they did in Futurama. It's like, new Super Mario Bros.
Yeah.
Until somebody then mentioned, like, I have an idea, new Super Metroid, and I was like, send that right now. Send that option now. But with New Super Mario Brothers U, that's the title that I feel like, okay, this is the one I'm going to play as far as my single player experience. And if anybody wants to jump in, that's fine. I mean, that's the one that's going to get my most time as far as by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and you know what? I mean, there's going to be like you said, there's going to be a lot of games on other consoles that I'm going to be looking forward to as well. I mean, let's not forget that that all of us are multi-console owners, so it's not, the Wii U isn't going to be our main per se console when it comes out this year. Obviously, we're going to be playing it a lot, but I mean, there's going to be like even your Halo 4s or your Assassin's Creed 3s, which granted is coming out on the Wii U, but I mean, there's just so much content coming out this year that it's going to be, it really is like a gamer's best. It's just like so fantastic to be a gamer at this time, you know?
It's going to be a huge year. I'm definitely excited. And like you said, you know, with the multi-systems, you know, the Wii is our focus, or Wii U is our focus on here, but there are a lot of good games coming out. So, I mean,
right.
it's, It's going to be a busy year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's really exciting to see the medium grow as it has. I mean, it really, comparatively to music and to movies and to books, obviously, I mean, it's just, it really is a new medium comparatively, and it's really coming into its own. So, and so quickly, too. I mean, we're only, gosh, if you think about it, we're only not even a half century old as a medium. So it's good to see that it's going to be growing and really gaining popularity. And I can't wait to see where it goes from here. And the Wii U is going to be then obviously the next step into the next generation of it. So yeah, that I think that's about it on our news ish topics. I mean, we didn't really have an agenda today. We were just kind of talking for you folks. I think it was about
we had no script really going into this. I mean, obviously with our other day to day jobs and stuff, we just came in like, do we have a doc? I'm like, no. We have somebody on wait call right now. We had Zach on there waiting, and we're just, you know, let's just go through this. Let's just do this as what you'd see like on an SNL skit, whatever, that really, when there's no teleprompter. So that's what we're going with.
Yeah, we have nice teleprompters today. None. But I think we did all right for y'all. So, but now, I'm not sure how much you guys have played in the last couple of weeks, but we always want to talk about a little bit of what we've been playing. And Harrison, I know you kind of already hinted that you haven't been playing much as of late, but I mean, have you done any like iPhone gaming or anything like that as of late?
I really haven't had the time to do that. I mean, obviously my mind is getting ready to be on the Wii U and just kind of flirting with a 3DS purchase. It's just, I really just haven't sat down. I mean, call me bad as far as doing that. I mean, when I don't game most of the time, I usually divulge myself into just looking into, well, Let's Plays. I always like watching Let's Plays on YouTube or just kind of gathering in more, like, gaming news. I mean, that's usually what, I mean, obviously that's my day-to-day my day-to-day agenda, just like, you know, check my RSS feed, be it, you know, like when it comes to like my New York Times or my CNN or anything like that, but it's always my gaming news. But I, when it comes to Let's Plays, one that I've really gotten into was one that was just recently started at the beginning of the summer, was done by two internet celebrities, JonTron and Egoraptor. Egoraptor is obviously known as a famous... I wouldn't say world-renowned, but internet-renowned, you know, animator that has done the Awesome series, which is basically, you know, minute-long parodies of different mm-hmm. video game series, mm-hmm. and they've just started a new Let's Play series called Game Grumps, which is just those two playing these different games, I mean, like a regular Let's Play, but, you know, one thing I really like about Let's Plays that go this route is, like, there's always those long bits of silence, like, silence when they're playing it, but in this case, they BS a lot. They yeah. BS a lot when they get away from it on there. So, I mean, plus there's a little good trivia facts they talk about that they, even about games that they're not playing. So
right.
That's what I've been kind of been keeping myself occupied. The one I've been watching recently is their Let's Play, their game, it's called Game Grumps. Their Game Grumps episode right now, that they've been, I think in their third or fourth episode of this game, but it's Aladdin on the Super Nintendo. And
oh, awesome.
I immediately nice. Got into that. So it got annoying for a while because they kept, you know, humming the Aladdin theme song on there, and I'm just like, I gotta turn this down because it's just getting really annoying. But
is it
yeah,
bad
that's...
to say that I think that the Genesis version of Aladdin was better than the Super Nintendo version?
I'd have to agree with you on that one.
All right, well, I might get a little flack there, but I love that game so much.
The Genesis one appeared, it was more like, yeah, it was a Disney title, but it was more of an action type of title
yeah.
with more platform elements, but whereas the Super Nintendo version was, it was just a general platformer.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, that's cool. I mean, I'm with you on that. I mean, I don't get to play everything that I'd like, but I like follow, you know, Giant Bombcast. They have their...
See, I can't... I mean, I like Bombcast, but most of the time when I have to listen to it, though, it's usually like once... I don't know, once or twice per month for me. I mean, yeah, it's four times a month, but I just found it very hard. I had to set aside some time to listen to it. I mean, it, like, for those who don't know, Giant Bombcast, their podcasts run close to at least 2.5 to 3 hours long.
3 hours, yeah. I like watching their – I don't remember what they're playing, the videos that they have of what just them playing, but I like watching those like 5 minutes at a time to see kind of what I've missed. But like you, I mean, obviously we don't get to play everything that we want to, but I like to kind of keep informed, you know, into what's going – what's out, what's being played.
Mm.
Yeah, so, but Scott, have you been playing anything recently?
unfortunately, haven't had a lot of time to play either, you know, with work and submitting short stories and working on, you know, just writing in general. I've played a little bit of Guardian Cross for the iOS, and it's kind of a card-based game, but there is some a little bit of capturing monsters with, you know, kind of shooting at them through your scope and so on. It's a nice little game, just kind of a little time waster by Square Enix. Although I think in the next week or so, and I'm almost ashamed to admit it, but I actually just received Zelda: The Wand of Gamelin.
Oh yes, and,
Scott, yeah, why, Scott?
I am ashamed, but I had to get it, and I should be getting here within the next week.
I cannot wait to hear your impressions.
They won't be good, I'm sure. But I'm also getting Link: The Faces of Evil here within a week, and I should have the CDI tomorrow. So I don't know if I'll have a chance to play it, you know, over the weekend or whatnot, because I've got a pretty full weekend. But yeah, that's going to be my torture here shortly.
Oh, I cannot wait to hear what you think about that game.
I'd rather go through waterboarding. I'm sorry.
well, with my collection, you know, it's something that it's one of the systems that I don't want, but I have to have it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be part of it.
Yes.
And I mean, obviously, well, those Philips CDI, the Philips CDI was just a mess of itself. Well, I'm not even going to call it a console. So, I mean, obviously it was, but I just don't feel like it earns the name of being a console. I just feel like it was just a mess of ours technology. I mean, there were different.
It's like a train wreck. You can't look away.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't really have a set, you know, box for it, really. I mean, there were different versions. I mean, I know James Wolfe of the Angry Video Game Nerd had, like, different versions, and some broke, and he had to spend upwards of, like, $400 to $700 just to get new versions off eBay, and even the controllers were very faulty. And one thing I think he pointed out was, if you needed two-player, only one plugged up in the front, and you had to plug another one in the back of the, back of the box, so, you know, SOL for you, if you're two-player.
What I loved about it, you know, opening up the Wand of Gamelin today, looking at the booklet, you know, the first page was just, you know, the credits. Second page was kind of, you know, a description of, you know, just an introductory that, you know, the world is in ruins and so on. And then you turn the page expecting to see, you know, how did the controls work, or, you know, their pictures. And the next couple pages are a list of all the CDI games that were available at the time.
Yeah.
That was the booklet. So, you know, even back then, you know, it's something that wasn't too much of a good introduction for the system. So, So I can't wait for the torture, but definitely it's something I had to get. I mean, I just couldn't help it.
It's a piece of Nintendo history that Nintendo doesn't even want to talk about. It's just
exactly.
Oh, awesome.
I wouldn't even consider necessarily a part of the history. Yeah, it's something you want to forget about. It's essentially like, hey, it's like your son decides to go off and do something else for a little bit while, whatever, like, you without their permission. It's like, hey, do whatever you want. You come back and you're like, you did what?
Yeah.
You're very disappointed in what they did. I'm like, okay, we're going to make sure all the family friends do not know about this. We're going to take care of everything. That's okay. You know, but it still gets out.
The CDI goes down in Nintendo's history with the Love Hotels. So it's, you know, it's one of those things, like you said, they don't want to talk about.
Right. And you know, that kind of reminds me of, like, the even on the NES and Super Nintendo games, there was a couple of games from I'm pretty sure it was Radical that made the games, but do you remember the Mario is Missing games? They were like
I
owned it. I bit into it. I was young. I was stupid.
Yeah. But like I saw Mario on the cover, I was like, cool, let's do this, and it was like, wait, this I'm learning. I don't really understand what's going on here. Oh man, good times. Good times back in the early 90s of Nintendo and their indiscretions with with women that were not. They should have just wrapped it up. I don't know, Nintendo. Like, you got. I don't know what's going on with you then. But
I think this is a good segue into my little short story that I had. My little Nintendo spotting that I had. Anyway. I just got done with a haircut at the mall, and you know, I was kind of browsing around for a while. Like, this is my local mall, browsing around trying to find like a birthday present for my friend, and didn't find anything. You know, I kind of then just did some window shopping as far as when it came to games, just kind of checking out box art, seeing anything if I really find something on sale. And as I'm walking out of the mall, okay, you know, in some of your local malls, they have not, I'm not saying just vending machines for like soda or like candy or anything like that, but these weird vending machines where you can win prizes, like, be it, I remember what was it, like PSPs and Game Boy Advance and stuff like that. You know, this is over the time. I'm walking outside the near, like the exit of the mall, and you know, I see one of those vending machines. I see that there's only one thing in there. I don't even make close eye contact with it as I walk by. I walk past the vending machine. I waltz backwards, look in there, scratch my eyes, and lo and behold, there was a Game Boy Advance e-reader bundle in there where you could win.
No way.
Wow. How much money did you spend on that machine?
I will post this on Infendo when I get the chance. And it wasn't just like, okay, one of those little, for everybody who doesn't know, the Nintendo e-reader was a little adapter for the Game Boy Advance, which essentially you could buy packs of cards. Some came in sets of 5 or 10 where you could just add, like, you know, like each of them were for like NES games, be it like, I remember Urban Champion was one of them, or Donkey Kong or Excitebike. You'd swipe 5 cards and you would have the game on the e-reader. Thing is, once you turn it off, you would have to re-swipe them in there. This was, again, you know, Nintendo's failed connectivity policy that they had with the Game Boy Advance and the GameCube at one point. And this was just something in the middle that they thought would sell like hotcakes. But again, it was kind of forgotten in the middle of everything because buying cards just to play games really didn't feel like it. Although, one little bit of a thing that was really great about it was when Super Mario Bros. 3 came on the Game Boy Advance, they did have sets for that where extra levels to download on there, which could be put onto the cartridge. So I thought was really nice. But
side note, why was the Super Mario Bros. 3 called Super Mario Advance 4 Super Mario Bros. 3? I never really understood that, but anyway.
I guess Super Mario Advance 3, Super Mario Bros. 3 would be more confusing. But, but back to the original story, what I was saying, I'm just staring at this thing thinking, why is this here? You know? Why? I mean, did somebody out in the back probably was clearing out, like, the last remnants of a KB Toys, and they saw this, like, you know what, we need to get rid of this somehow. I you know what, let's just put it as a joke or something. But as soon as I leave, I see some kid trying to win this thing, and I'm just, like, I'm observing it right now, thinking, like, hoping he wins this and just says, kid, I really hope you know that you need a Game Boy probably for this right now. So after about a few attempts, he didn't get it, and I just took the photo, and here we are now. And then that really prompted me to kind of look for mine, but I couldn't find my e-reader. So, I don't know. Then again, I didn't really have the urge to go back and find my Urban Champion cards because everybody has to find that piece of crap.
I think I would have wasted at least $10 in that machine that day.
I probably would have too. Was it like one of those stacking machines where you have to like line up the lights to build like a tower up to the top or something?
It was hanging. Like, I think it was a claw machine. That's what it was. It was a claw machine.
Oh, wow.
Jeez. Oh my gosh. I would have. Yeah, you're right, Scott. I would have gone to an ATM probably to try and win that stupid little e-reader thing, just because I could have. It was. Oh man, that's a fantastic story. I can't believe that now in 2012 that there's an e-reader.
Yeah, that thing is 10 years. Okay, it's 10 years old right now. That the whole little peripheral. And it's still there, and I'm like, oh.
Nice.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I don't know if I could follow that one up, but I've only been playing a couple of titles as of late. I actually ended up picking up Pokemon Black and White 2. Haven't played too much of it, but I do got to say that it's one of the it's probably the best Pokemon game that I've played in the last couple of years. Even better than Pokemon Black and White, the original ones, because right now Nintendo has so fine-tuned their craft, Nintendo and Game Freaks, of Pokemon titles, and it's just so jam-packed with content that it's I can be playing this game this time next year if I really wanted to and still not have seen everything. So that's something that I've been playing. And then non-Nintendo-wise, I've been actually been playing a lot of XCOM because I was a big XCOM nerd when it was out on the PC back in the day, and that game has been kicking my butt lately. But yeah, other than that, I mean, I finally beat Borderlands 2, which was exciting, and yeah, I mean, just really gearing up for the Wii U and excited to see when that's coming out in less than a month. So that, I just can't wait. Just so excited for it. So yeah, other than that, I mean, I think that's about it for the podcast.
I think that and the e-reader story are enough to cap off this show.
I think that about does it. I mean,
I think that's a good time to announce that yes, this podcast will be available in a set of 5 cards. Yeah. Just write down your address, find your old e-reader, and you'll be able to listen to it. By the way, streaming will take at least about good 2 to 3 hours.
That's right. And if you'd like to subscribe to our podcast, fill out this card that's available in the podcast, and all it just takes 12 easy payments of $1.99 to write them to Eugene, Harrison, and Scott the checks. I mean, we'd really appreciate it. So, with that, I mean, I think we'll just kind of give our closing comments and let y'all folks be ready for the next podcast whenever that comes. So my Twitter handle is Infendo_Eugene, and you can follow me there for whenever I post but little things here and there. Harrison, why don't you give us your Twitter handle?
Yes, for everybody else who just wants me to ramble on and stuff, that's nothing games, but my handle is HMilfeld, HMILFELD.
Mm-hmm.
And go follow me.
Yeah.
Unfollow me just to make me mad, just to make me freak out about my follower count, which I'm sure... Trust me, there's too many people I know who care so much about their follower count.
Yeah.
And yet, I mean, sorry I'm getting sidetracked, but I mean, there's so many instances where I'd be discussing about, you know, be it games or commentating on a baseball game or talking about, you know, just random journalism stuff. And yet I would have some girl or some little guy, whatever, that would just unfollow me saying, like, you talk too much about this stuff. I'm like, and yet you have 4 square check-ins out the wazoo.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that. That really irks me. I mean, I just, but there's, why do people say I stay with that? I just have a high tolerance for BS when it comes to that stuff. I mean, I will, if I feel down someday and I just see some, like, girl that I know, whatever, just going off writing, I mean, essentially Twitter's your own little diary that I find, see him just rambling on about problems and stuff, and I'm like, you know what, I feel so much better right now. I really do.
That's right. Yeah, I could really care less that you're wearing a sports bra and a green t-shirt today. Don't get me started, but yeah. So Scott's got a little bit more going on. I know that you've got this publishing deal going on and you've got your own website. So tell us where we can follow all your goings on, Scott.
Yeah, absolutely. At Twitter, it's @EsselPratt, or you can go to esselpratt.com. Still kind of updating here and there. And as I have more publications and so on, I'll post those on there. And also facebook.com/EsselPrattWriting. I post all my Infendo and Nerdsy articles on there, as well as updates. You know, I have one short story in a book, 31 More Nights of Halloween. I'm going to be in here shortly, actually, beginning of November. I don't know the exact date yet. It hasn't been announced, but the second book will be The Undead That Saved Christmas. I've got a short story in there. And I've got about 3 more out there waiting for either rejection or acceptance letters, and kind of working on a couple novels in the background.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. Well, that's been Infendo Radio for this week, folks. I know it's been a couple weeks since we posted, but yeah, you know, deal with it. It's free.
You know, we're gearing up for the initial storm of more podcasts and posts to come along, because, you know, as we have with, like, the Wii coming to an end, you know, there wasn't really much to talk about. But now, once this gets into our generation, you'll probably be asking us, like, when's the next podcast really coming out?
Yeah, that's right.
So, or you'll be asking us, will you please shut up? But, I mean, either way.
We'll either be too busy playing the Wii U to have podcasts, or maybe we'll get a game of Call of Duty going and do the podcast over Call of Duty. Who knows?
Right. Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you, Scott. Thank you, Harrison, for joining me this week. And, you know, please follow us on Infendo for all that we do on there and on every Twitters, all those fun things. And thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. And, you know, that's been Infendo Radio for the week, and we will see y'all next time.
Take care.
Excellent. Take you.